It is right now. It's kind of fun. I'm still transitioning for those who have been praying for me specifically in the areas of, as you know, I'm moving in a direction to be ordained. And so last Thursday, I made it through the second to the last process. There's an ordination committee that encompasses all the presbyteries. And they met with me and they're like, he checks out. He is good to go. He gets to stand before presbytery. So it'll be a lot of folks like you and all, you know, there'll be pastors and elders, and I'll get to preach before them and be before them. So thank you for those who are praying. I definitely receive that. Keep praying. And I look forward to one day, you know, addressing you as pastor. And I believe that that's a call that God's put on my life. And that's pretty exciting. And so I'm thankful for you, church, for supporting me in those things. Well, this morning we're going to be taking a look at Romans 12, 9 through 21. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to that, feel free to grab your app or whatever works for you. Or if you grab a pew Bible, is number 1764, page 1764. Let me read that for us. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. So I have a question for you. Put this here. I have a question for you, and that is, what is that? It's a compass. Yeah, excellent, excellent. All right. So then they also look like this, and they can also look like this. Yeah, so what's the purpose of a compass? Yeah, it points you in a direction. But one of the primary things that it does also is it points one particular direction. What direction is that? Points north. And by pointing north, then you know immediately what all the other directions are, right? All right, so church, what direction's north? Yeah, nice job. Nice job. You guys know. You guys definitely heard to know. There was a little confusion last service. It was like they were directing traffic or something. But no, it was majority of both services. A great job. You guys know where north is. I don't know necessarily where north is. You guys describe things of like east and west directions. It's in the northeast corner of, or it's in southwest corner of, it's, you know, on the east side. What, like, that just does not happen in Pittsburgh because we got mountains and valleys and rivers. We direct things by rivers, maybe. But no, by no means, north, south, east, and west. So I often get a little confused of your directions, of what's going on. But you guys are people of sort of the compass. You guys know where north is. And that is That's really good. And so kind of like when we remember, we've been thinking and talking about worship. Remember last week, if you want to take a quick glance, take a look at the first two verses of Romans. We're talking about worship, and we talked about Jeremy said there's something interesting about the spiritual act of, you know, this worship that happens when we crawl up on the altar, when you have a live creature. What happens with the live creature when it crawls up on the altar and it's still alive? It crawls off. That's right. Just like, and so Paul's saying, hey, we need to be a living sacrifice. And we do, I do for sure, have a tendency wanting to crawl off that altar. But our lives are to be spiritual acts of worship. We're to bring worship to God in all parts of life, every day of our life, not just here, not just now. And I believe that worship in our lives kind of points us in a particular direction. It orientates us. It tells us, you know, what is good, what is right, what is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. I think that's what worship can do for us. That's, by the way, that's all found in Philippians 4:8. But, you know, the world pulls us a different direction, right? It kind of defines a lot of those terms. It might define truth and love or excellence in its own terms. Remember, those words are not intrinsically pointed in a particular direction. Those words can be defined by the world in many different ways. And if you find yourself following those ways, you might find yourself confused and wondering what is good. What is truly good in this world? And so as a compass needle gives us a reference point for what is north, so too does worship. It does that for our lives. And so by knowing true north, it helps orientate the rest of our lives. And that's pretty wonderful. And God and God alone is our reference point for all of life. All of life. Not just here on Sunday mornings. The moment you leave here and continuing through every moment of your day for all of life. And so worship does something amazing. It reminds us of who God is. Who God is. This is great and amazing God. That's what worship does. It reminds us who He is. And then in consequence, reminds us of who we are and the call that God has put on our lives. So in this passage, Paul talks about a lot of different things. I kind of saw this passage is divided up into a couple of different areas. First is that worship directs our attitudes. And so I've often found that our attitudes are things that we can kind of in some ways control on our own. It kind of puts us in a mental state. You know, if you've ever been in a bad attitude and you're just like choosing, nope, I'm going to choose a good attitude today, even though there might be some bad things happening. I think there's some places where Paul talks about our attitude. So first, Paul calls us to love. He says love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Have you ever tried to love someone on your own strength? You may try hard, but likely in some way you find yourself failing in some way. You end up ultimately either A, making your love all about yourself, like, ooh, I'm righteous and I'm going to, you know, help you. And so we ultimately that helping or that love out of our own strength ultimately actually is about us, not the other person. Or we can also, in that sort of like, hey, I'm loving you, we could become self-righteous. And so we become prideful and we're like, ooh, I'm awesome. I'm loving you. And really what we're doing is having pity for that person in a way that is demeaning, in a way that puts them actually down and not valuing them equally. And so I think when we love out of our own strength, we can, you know, there's lots of other variants of what we can have. But ultimately, it isn't good, isn't out of something. When we look to love, we look to who? We look to God. When we love out of God's love that has lavished upon us, we find that it is based out of relationship with you. And out of the relationship, that means He gets to know you. He knows us intimately, incredibly. And we find that love is selfless, self-sacrificing, seeks only for the benefit of others, and brings glory to God. And so, interestingly, and I would even say that as we love, it's not even really about me or the person I'm trying to love, but it's actually about God, about sort of giving them and pointing them back to God, of God's great love for them. Secondly, Paul also talks about humility. He says, honor one another above yourself. You know, when we have pride in our life, pride likes a hill, right? It says, I am on top. I am better than everyone else. They have a hill that they stand upon. And that hill has only room for one. But when we look at the cross, what do we see? It's level. We are all level at the cross. Have we not all fallen short of the glory of God? Paul also makes mention that there's service that is given. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep up your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so by application, serving God's people from the least to the greatest. Let's not forget Matthew 25. This is just a small excerpt from it. Matthew 25, 37. Jesus is speaking and he says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? Did we see you sick or imprisoned and go and visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So service to each other is actually service to our God. So Paul then goes on and he talks also, I think he continues in talking about our attitude, and particularly as we think about worship, as we think about what does worship do in our lives, I think worship directs our attitude. And so he then goes on and says, joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. First, joyful in hope. Well, if you're hoping for something, do you have it? No, not at all. I at another time, I'll expand this further, but man, I knew that someday God was going to get me a job and waiting for 15 long weeks. Man, I had hope of a job that God was going to put me somewhere, but we didn't have it. And so it's really hard to be joyful in hope. In fact, I would say our hope was often doused with or covered in tears. And yet, I don't think because we read and remembered God's word, as which I encourage you as well, that joyful does not mean happy, does not mean bouncing around off the walls. It means putting our hope in that which we can be sure of, in the one whom we can be sure of. That true hope comes from hopefulness that comes from it in things that you're certain of things that you are certain of. Also, our worship directs and moves in us that we can be patient in affliction. Literally, that word patient is actually the word for squeeze. And so literally and physically, figuratively, it means pressure. And so oftentimes this word is used around persecution of believers. And so when we're patient, we're not immediately retaliating back to the things that are oppressing us. We're knowing that this is a squeeze, yes, but we can hold on because the one who covers and protects us. Worship also directs our prayers. He says, faithful in prayers. And I think prayer is actively and consciously connecting us with God, in which reminds us of hope we have in our salvation of Jesus Christ. When we connect with this loving and amazing God, it's out of relationship. Paul then goes on and he also talks about worship. And I think this is kind of Paul saying, hey, outside of the church particularly, here are some things to remember. One, Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you and do not curse. Paul, obviously, he had a way with words in all of his stuff. You'll notice his words are just so particular as he writes it together. And I believe Paul understands the power of words. Don't you remember the power of incredible words of encouragement? I'll tell you this, even today, after I finish speaking, and, you know, there are moments when you go, I wish I would have said, and, you know, such. But I had a couple people say, hey, good job. Those words were powerful. And I know because they were often followed by, I'm pointing to Christ. I'm thankful that Christ is working, moving in and through you. And they were powerful in my life. And you know the words that are also powerful negatively in your life. Maybe words that resound in your ears for a long, long time. Paul says, bless and do not curse, even those who are persecuting you. He knows the power of words, that they give life or death. Paul also says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. When I was in Kent, Ohio, I was living with a family. And during that time, an older retired couple and one of their dear friends had lost their spouse. And I said, so what are you going to do? What now? He said, we're going to go. Go where? We're going to go to their house. What are you going to do? We're going to sit. You're going to sit? Are you going to say anything? Like words? No. We're going to sit. We're going to simply be. They were simply going to bring themselves in presence to their friend who was mourning, as they too mourn the loss of their friend. Sit in presence. I think that's part of what it means to mourn with those who mourn. It doesn't mean giving words of words of words of words, but that's simply that presence, that mourning together. Paul also says, be right in the eyes of everyone. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to take a survey across every single person and say, all right, so what would be right for you? What about for you? What about for you? That would be exhausting, let alone impossible, because you'll probably find that they're contradictory things. But when I was wrestling through this passage, I remembered something I read in Galatians 5:22-23. Listen to this. Paul writing to the Galatians, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. As far as I know, there isn't any law in any land that goes against these things that I know of. But against such things, there is no law. I think that's what Paul's getting towards. Doing right in the eyes of everyone, according to God's law, according to God's goodness, according to his rightness. I think worship also does one other thing. Worship aligns our hearts to know what is evil. Aligns us to know what is evil. Because, right, if you know what north is, then you know what every other direction is, and you know how to navigate and get around. But you also know if someone says, hey, north is that way. You're like, no, it's not. North is that way. I have a compass. See, it spins around, and every time it points that way. It tells us what is evil. Paul goes on and mentions a number of things. I won't expound on all these. But he says, do not be conceited. And this word conceited, particularly, I really looked into the Greek. Like, what's going on here? Really, it's mean. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be like, I said this and I know. Because that same word for wise that's used there is the same words that Jesus uses to talk about the wisdom of God's kingdom. Because he uses that same word when he talks about the one who is wise, who builds the house upon the rock. The five virgins who were wise about taking extra oil. And then he also says, be wise as servants, as serpents, and as harmless as doves. You see, that wisdom is not man's wisdom. but is God's wisdom. So don't think that you're wise of your own knowledge. Be wise of God's knowledge. He also says, don't take revenge. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now, what's interesting is that word for cling is actually the word that's used when Paul talks about marriage, of the two becoming one. That's, and Paul says that's a mystery in and of itself. So he's saying, bind, cling, be connected intimately with God about what is good in God's eyes. Those are the things to be intimately and connected with. And we know that what is good, because all goodness comes from God. And so we're called to worship not only in this place, this building, and we are not only called to worship in this place, the church building, but in our homes, or our car, or our work, or when we're with friends, or co-workers, and family. We're called to worship at all times, in all places. Remember, worshiping and aligning yourself with God, in His goodness and His greatness. Because in His goodness and greatness, there is life. Life full of God's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. How do we do this? You know, do you carry around like a spiritual compass? I don't know where one is, if there is one. I know what a compass looks like to direct our north here on earth. But how do we do this? How do we align ourselves so that we know what north is, what is good and right and true? And I think we do this simply, well, we did this morning. We sing. We sing songs. You could probably all have songs that you remember. Maybe it's as simple as Jesus loves me, this I know, you know? For the Bible tells me so. Maybe you sing. Maybe you hum that. Maybe because you know that it would not be good to be singing in that particular context. So maybe we hum. Maybe we memorize scripture. You know, I read a part of Psalm 103 this morning. There, it continues on. There's lots of worship in the Psalms, particularly as you look at the latter, the end of the Psalms. There is lots and lots of fun worship in there. Maybe memorize a line of that and take it and put it in your mind that it may move and transform your heart. Maybe you take, you know, a piece of scripture about who God is and you put it in your briefcase. So every time you go to open for that big business deal, you see right there a reminder of who God is. The business people don't see it, but you see it. You're reminded of your place, of who you are in God's eyes. That no matter what happens in that dealing, you are still loved and beloved by God. Maybe you put it on your bathroom mirror, so when you wake up in the morning and you stumble around and turn on the light, boom, there it is. God's word and memorization of His scripture is there. I don't know where you put it. Maybe you put it on a mirror somewhere. Maybe you put it post-it notes places. Maybe you text back and forth, use apps, whatever works. Be reminded of who God is. Because that reminds us of our north. Of what direction is north. So we can navigate all of life. It's interesting, when I was looking around to see, you know, does the scripture talk anywhere about how God's people memorized and remembered who God was? I remembered, Deuteronomy 6, one of my favorite passages. Moses, when he's writing, he just talked about the law. And he says, all right, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frame of your house and on your gate. So that no matter where these folks were coming or going or doing, they were remembering that their north God of what is true and what is right. This is what is true and what is right. So I encourage you, figure out a place that reminds you to bring worship to God, acknowledging Him in all circumstances. Because as you live your life in constant worship, you are very active living becomes an act of worship to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, for who you are. Lord, thank you that we can know what is true and right and good, that it is certain. Lord, may we continue to know and memorize your word. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing a word from the Lord for us this morning. Would you stand for the benediction, please? And as you stand, I'm going to invite you to do this with me. God's people, know that you go out this week empowered by Him, loved by Him, worshiping Him in every day, every way. Receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.